culturally different from themselves and with people who have various disabilities. Respectfully listen to and answer children's questions about themselves and others. Teach children how to challenge biases about who they are. Help them to think critically about what they see in books, movies, and on TV. And let children know that unjust things can be changed, and involve them in taking action on issues relevant to their lives.
We are a part of God's great big family.
And the truth, you know, love is all we need.
School Days is prepared and engineered here in KHSU's Del Norte studio for the KHSU magazine by Susan Andrews, school psychologist for the Del Norte County Unified School District.
Thanks to everyone who contributed to today's KHSU magazine. Thanks to my guest, Molly Kate. If you're interested in her class, The Axial Age, go to humboldt.edu/OLLI. KHSU receives support from our community in a variety of forms. The businesses, the organizations that underwrite programming pay for 20% of the station's budget. The next time you do business with a KHSU underwriter, please thank them for their donation to our community. Stay tuned. Coming up next is Art Waves with Wendy Butler.
Thank you for spending your Tuesday afternoon, the 13th of March, with KHSU. I'm Wendy Butler, and it's time for Art Waves. Two interviews on the program today. Later, I have with me Rabbi Naomi Steinberg. Naomi and her son, Beryl Alexander, are performing The Angel's Wings, an evening of music and storytelling at Eureka's Morris Graves Museum of Art. This performance will be this Saturday at 7 p.m. First on the program today, Catherine Hulper. The Eureka High School Junior, in January, won Humboldt County's Regional Poetry Out Loud Contest. She's headed to the state finals in Sacramento this Sunday, March 18th, and Monday, the 19th, where she will compete against county champions from around the state. And the competitors' recitations will take place on the floor of the assembly in the state capitol building. The material, it's not just choosing, you know, certain types of poems, but it's performing the poems. And so you're not going to want to choose a poem that's not going to do well in performance.
Yes,
so
exactly.
And of course, you've been doing this for several years. So what is the material that you've chosen?
The poems that I've chosen, my two original poems are Love Letters by Diane Thiel, and this one's a mouthful, ABC Darien Requiring Further Examination of Anglican Seraphim Subjugation of Wild Indian Reservation by Natalie Diaz. That's crazy, actually, but it's an ABC Darien. It has A through Z in the title and in the poem, which is really cool.
Well, let's start there. I want to talk more about these poems. So it has, you said A through Z. Can you give me any inkling of it? Can you say some of it?
Do you want me to just start at the beginning?
Yeah. Yeah, just do the poem.
Sure. I guess I'll just do ABC Darien. Angels don't come to the reservation. Bats, maybe. Or owls. Boxy, mottled things. Coyotes, too. They all mean the same thing. Death. And death eats angels, I guess. Because I haven't seen an angel fly through this valley ever. Gabriel? Never heard of him. No guy named Gabe, though. He came through here one powwow and stayed. Typical Indian. Sure, he had wings, jailbird that he was. He flies around in stolen cars. Wherever he stops, kids grow like gourds from women's bellies. Like I said, no Indian I've ever heard of has ever been or seen an angel. Maybe in a Christmas pageant or something. Nazarene Church holds one every December, organized by Pastor John's wife. It's no wonder Pastor John's son is the angel. Everyone knows angels are white. Quit bothering with angels, I say. They're no good for Indians. Remember what happened last time some white god came floating across the ocean? Truth is, there may be angels. But if there are angels up there, living on clouds or sitting on thrones across the sea, wearing velvet robes and golden rings, drinking whiskey from silver cups, we're better off if they stay rich and fat and ugly exactly where they are, in their own distant heavens. You better hope you never see angels on the res. If you do, they'll be marching you off to Zion or Oklahoma or some other hell they've mapped out for us.
I'm wondering, when your first introduction was to this poem, was it in school or where was it?
Actually, it was on the website, and I just went through poem after poem after poem, and I found this one, and I really liked it.
Why?
I thought it was interesting. I didn't even notice that it was in ABC Darien at first, that it went through A through Z, like one of the lines exactly instead of exactly, so it uses the X. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was really interesting. I thought it was powerful, and I thought it was really timely.
Memorizing and then performing. Now, this is not new to you because you've memorized lines when you do plays mm-hmm. at Eureka High. And so how do you do this? I mean, do you sit down and you look at the poem and maybe memorize a line and then go back and read some more and practice the next line? How does it work with you?
I have a variety of methods I use. One of them is just reading it over and over and over. And just by reading it, you start to get it just ingrained. And by the time you're done reading it so many times, it's already in your brain, so you can just memorize it. I record myself reading it and listen to it over and over and over. I'll read one line, and then I'll do the next, and then I'll go back to the first one. It's just repetition and having time to really work on it and memorizing it the right way, because if you memorize it the wrong way, then you'll perform it the wrong way.
What do you mean, memorize the wrong way?
If I had a bad tone or the syntax of what I was saying didn't make sense, then when I performed it, I would be stuck in saying that, and it would be really hard to change.
Can I extend that by saying you need to understand what you're reading?
Absolutely.
What you're memorizing.
You're judged on the evidence of understanding. You really need to know what you're saying and why it's meaningful and how it connects.
Is this an extension of your interest in theater? What came first?
It kind of came together because I was in my freshman English class and I remembered my sister had done it in previous years, but I didn't really know what it was. And I was also doing theater at the same time, so it kind of helped each other make. I did theater and I did poetry out loud, and they kind of complemented each other. So I don't really think either one came first.
Do you find that memorizing, preparing for a play, rehearsing, getting it ready, and then doing the play, then doing this process of preparing your poem and then performing it, does one have more stress for you than the other?
Well, it depends on what I'm doing, because I stage manage and I also act. So as stage manager, that can be pretty stressful. And acting, that can be stressful in different ways, like memorizing or depending on how big the part is. I think they're very different, but they also share that acting. I think poetry out loud, I've already memorized them, so that part of the stress is out, and the stress of winning is out too, because honestly, I'm really just excited to be going to state.
And I was just thinking of this as you were talking. This is entirely up to you. Mm-hmm. When you're in a play, it's you and it's the others who are in the play with you.
Absolutely.
So this is all yours.
Yeah.
Whatever happens it's you.
Yeah. I mean, coaching, obviously, but at the end of the day, it's me who picks the poem, who memorizes them, and who decides what to say.
Do you write poetry?
I do write poetry. I enjoy writing poetry. I also like reading poetry. But yeah, I like writing poetry because it gives me my own voice. I don't know if there any of them are any good, but it's fun. Yeah.
Have you ever shown your poems to anyone?
I have. I've entered them in a few like school contests, not really seriously. I've shown them to friends and my dad since he's a writing teacher, but I might enter them in more contests. It's not something I'm scared of, but I just really enjoy writing them and reading them to other people who enjoy poetry as well.
Well, and finally, what type of poetry interests you the most? It may or may not be something that was offered through Poetry Out Loud. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but what themes really attract you?
I like poetry that tells a story that you can connect with. I mean, I've read my fair share of sonnets and very structured poetry, and there are good ones, but I find the poetry that I enjoy most doesn't have as much of a structure. It tells what someone's really feeling, and it tells a story, and I think that's the type of poetry that I really enjoy.
Now, you are a junior.
Yes.
And so you have another year at Eureka High School.
Mm-hmm.
Have you thought about what you might like to do as far as if you want to go to college? And if you do, are you interested in majoring in theater?
Absolutely. I'd love to do that. I don't know if it's going to work out. And I plan on having some sort of a backup plan, but I'd love to pursue theater.
Catherine Hulper, Humboldt County's Poetry Out Loud champion. She is headed to the state finals in Sacramento this Sunday, March 18th, and Monday, the 19th, where she will compete against county champions from around the state for a chance to qualify for the National Poetry Out Loud competition. Poetry Out Loud is an initiative of the National Endowment for the Arts and encourages high school students to learn about poetry through memorization, performance, and competition. The state program is administered by the California Arts Council. I'm Wendy Butler, and you're listening to Art Waves on KHSU. Rabbi Naomi Steinberg and her son, Beryl Alexander, return to Eureka's Morris Graves Museum of Art this Saturday, March 17th at 7 p.m. with The Angel's Wings. And Naomi is my guest. The description includes folklore and deep teachings. Deep teachings, I'm intrigued. I would like you, Naomi, to talk about what that means.
Well, it means that this particular kind of theater piece is based on traditional Jewish motifs, and the teachings that come out are about some of our Jewish themes, Jewish holidays and values, but especially about life and death. There's just a lot of life and death material here in these stories.
Is some of this material, these stories, are some of these that you have adapted or that...
These are all these mystical original tales that they're original to me. I don't like to say that I wrote them because I'm not a story writer. But, you know, I'm a meditation practitioner and I've done a lot of deep meditation and prayer. And over 20 years ago, these stories all just came to me, and I literally heard them in my head. I just heard a voice telling me the stories in my head. It was very, very exciting time. And I wrote them down, and I told them to friends. And then 20 years ago, when Beryl was just a little boy, we did that show together, bringing them to life theatrically.
And the show 20 years ago, was it also called The Angel's Wings?
Yes, okay. It was. Okay. Yeah, and that was so wonderful that you interviewed us. Wasn't it for the Humboldt Beacon, I think?
It was at the Humboldt Beacon.
Yes. So we go way back, and this relationship is great. I still have that picture somewhere in a selection of mementos.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. I think that your son was 12?
Yeah, he was 12 or so. Isn't that wonderful? And he was, because he was a boy soprano. Uh-huh. And we did one of the stories we did with masks where we were both had our faces completely covered. It's about sisters. Our faces were covered with masks and we had these drapes that came down over our heads. And he was exactly the same height that I was. And it was very magical because people told me they couldn't tell which one of us was who was who. We were collaborating with Franklin Stover, wonderful composer. And so he was the storyteller for that one. And we were acting it out. So now we're doing it just the two of us. And I'm so thrilled that my kid wants to do it with me again 20 years later. We had an invitation to do it about two summers ago at a big Jewish conference. And we had such a wonderful time that Beryl said, Mama, let's do it. Let's do it as much as we can.
Well, let me ask you this. Since it has been 20 years, have you written new material that you're performing now?
No, that was just part of that whole big meditation experience. And I have this beautiful set. It's about 25 stories. Some of them are very short and some of them are very long. One takes an hour to tell. So for this particular performance piece, we have an opening two brief stories and a closing story. And then the stories in the middle, we're going to swap out. So if any listeners saw our performance at the Morris Graves in November, we'll have a couple of the same stories, but also new stories because we get to rotate. We've got quite a repertoire of stories. And it's fun because sometimes he tells the story and I act it out, kind of a pantomime, and sometimes the opposite. And then sometimes we're telling a story together, almost interrupting each other, kind of tossing the ball back and forth. And of course, Beryl sings like an angel, so it's such a treat to get to sing with him.
Is singing and playing the guitar, you know, the instrument, is that part of some of the stories?
Yes, we have stories and little, it's really Jeroboam Bowden, my two guys with J's. Jeroboam came to the show in November, and he was so kind as to say, oh, this is exquisite chamber theater, sacred chamber theater. And that was a really wonderful description. It helped me shape it. So it's a little bit more than a straight storytelling performance when someone stands up and tells a story solo. With the two of us, we really try to create a very strong atmosphere. And with a selection of instruments and our two voices, and it's really a delight to perform.
Now, you have given me a couple of recordings of you and Beryl singing. Now, the recordings, like, for instance, the one on a track that you titled Number One, but it's, you know, Beryl and Naomi, it's Return Again. So it's the one of the three tracks you sent me that this one is in English. Now, Return Again, is this something you wrote, Naomi?
No, that's a very famous piece in the Jewish community. The music is by Rabbi Shlomo Carlbach, and the lyric is by Ronnie Kahn. And it's really beloved, and we just love it. It's a nice way to open the show. It has that sense we try to invite people to return to an imaginal time, an imaginal realm, the kind of place we all explored when we were kids, you know, when there was a not such a strict dividing line between the real and the unreal. And we would try to really take people to a very mystical place. And so that song is a nice opener.
Return again. Return again. Return to the land. Return to the land of your soul. Return to who you are. Return to what you are. Return to where you are. Born and reborn again. Return to who you are. Return to what you are. Return. Born and reborn.
Your stories, are they in a chronology? I mean, because you mentioned death when we were first talking. Can you give me an example of one of the stories? And, you know, is it telling of a person journeying somewhere?
Oh, they're all different kinds of characters. Okay. Sometimes they're simple characters like a fisherman, a working person. Sometimes they're angels and princes and princesses and famous rabbis sometimes walk into the stories also. I noticed, because these stories were a completely spontaneous experience for me, very, very intense. It's really taking me quite a few years to process it all and to feel comfortable with sharing them very publicly. But I noticed that in a lot of the stories, we have a lot of characters that where there are surprise deaths. Like, well, there's one story, we're not going to tell it this week, this show's on the 17th, so I'm not giving anything away. There's one story that starts, there was once a beggar who died one night while sleeping at the side of the road, leaving behind no name, no family, and no possession except for an old basket. So there's the opening of the story, and the leading character gets killed off in the first sentence. But then we learn a great deal about that character through the travels of the basket, the one possession that belonged to him.
You have another song that you gave me. It's a cappella, the two of you, you and Beryl singing.
Yes.
But I do not recognize the words.
Yes, that's an original one, and it's based on a line from the Book of Psalms that's used in the morning prayer service. And it translates, "How lovely is your kindness, Holy One. The children of the earth take refuge in the shadow of your wings." So it's a beautiful image of the divine with wings spread out and sheltering us. Wendy, it's such a delight to get to do this mystical and beautiful performance when we're all so steeped in politics and stress and worry. And I'm very, very active politically, and I follow politics really closely. So this is, I don't want to say escape exactly, but it's refuge. We all need refuge. Part of me says, well, why am I taking time to do this show, these mystical little stories and singing with my beautiful young son? I think, well, wait a minute, this is refuge, spiritual refuge. So I really invite people to come if you're looking for some relief from the stresses of the world and some inspiration. This is the performance for you.
Now, when we were talking about the song, what's the title again?
Mayakar Chastecha.
And that is in Hebrew?
Mm-hmm.
Since you've got the, you know, you're talking, the stories, you know, you're speaking them and then you're also singing them, is some of the language that we're hearing, is some of it going to be in Hebrew?
Yes. Yes, there will be Hebrew flourishes, Hebrew touches in the songs, in some of the stories. Sometimes there's Yiddish in some of the stories. Sometimes there's a little Russian in some of the stories. Sometimes there's some Ladino in the songs. So we draw on the Jewish languages But everything, we try to make everything understandable.
You titled the whole thing, The Angel's Wings. What does that mean for you?
Well, that's taken from the lead story. The first story we perform is about an angel. I don't want to give too much away, but it starts like this. One day, a poor fisherman hauled in his net and discovered, to his amazement, that he had found an angel. The angel was the size of a child. It lay there shivering and tangled in the net. The angel wore a long white robe that was drenched with salt water and a golden crown on its head. Its pale, translucent skin was blue from the cold, and its magnificent white wings were drawn in close around its small body. You know, we could say that the whole thing, the whole performance, is about the life of the soul.
Can you expand on that? What do you mean?
Well, you know, we so often think of our lives in terms of our biographies, where we were born, where we grew up, where we went to school, what we did, all the details of our lives. And I think it's very valuable to shift perspective sometime and say, well, what am I doing on a soul level in this existence? What's going on for me? And of course, there's the what am I question too. I feel sorry for people whose minds are not opened to the possibility of real existence that's more than just the biography that we see at the end of someone's life.
Rabbi Naomi Steinberg, who will perform with her son, Beryl Alexander, and their performance is titled The Angel's Wings. That's this Saturday, March 17th at 7 p.m. This performance is dedicated to the memory of local cellist Mike Lee. The Angel's Wings is appropriate for adults and older children. And the Morris Graves Museum is located at 636 F Street in Eureka. For more information, you can phone 442-0278. Or you can visit humboldtarts.org. And that's it for today's program. Please join me again Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. And you can also listen to Art Waves anytime online at khsu.org. And Art Waves podcasts are available for download from iTunes. Until next time, I'm Wendy Butler. And thank you for listening.
Evans was one of the great artists of the 20th century and of all time. If you dig modern jazz, tune in to Gone Sides, Tuesday starting at 8 p.m. I'm your host, Darius Brotman. That's 8 o'clock on Tuesdays on KHSU, your jazz station.
On Radiolab, you'll hear a lot of this.
No, this whole notion is totally wrong.
Really?
But I thought...
No.
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 Wait.
Not quite.
But Einstein tells you...
That to me just seems...
But...
So... Jeez.
Come on.
But you'll also hear a lot of this.
Yes.
I think that's absolutely right.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's the ticket.
Tune into Radiolab to hear us grapple with and sometimes understand the world's mysteries.
Tuesdays at 7 on KHSU.